And so as we begin this morning, we've been talking about praise. I would ask you, how blessed are you? How blessed are you? Do you see it that way? Maybe it's been the kind of week where you're not so sure. But as you take a step back, are you able to say, you know what? I've received so much. I've got so much to be thankful for. No matter what is going on in the moment. But if you don't see it that way, if you can't see it that way, I'd like to gently ask you, what is it that you need? What do you need to see it that way? So that you can say, after taking an inventory, you know what? Yes, I really am. Maybe I didn't see it at first, but I really am blessed. Would those around you who know you best say that you consider yourself blessed? Now, I don't take too much stock in New Year's resolutions, but one of mine is the scripture verse that says, do everything without arguing and complaining. Because I've been reminding myself, you know what? Why do I play those tapes over and over in my head about, rah, 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 you know the roads we go down, right? Why don't I change them? Why don't I remind myself, man, I have so much to be thankful for. When others encounter you, are you someone whose outlook is like that? I'm blessed. Now, look, I know pastors can sometimes be travel agents for guilt trips, but just remember, a good travel agent has been on the trip himself, so he can tell you all about it. But that's not really where we're going this morning. We're going to a much better place here in the Word of God from the mouth of Jesus. Let's read it together. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This morning, I'd like to spend some time simply dwelling on the worth of what we have in Jesus, according to this parable. Because if we go there, if we realize how blessed we are, not just to have him in our lives, but to draw life from him, if we make that discovery, we will always be blessed. And the phrase to zero in on is right here in verse 44. Let's read it together. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then here it comes, three words, in his joy. In his joy. Went out and sold all he had, and bought that field in his joy. What does that mean? What does that mean for you right here, right now, today, as you're living? Let's come at it this way. Let's talk investments for a moment. When the first Apple Macintosh computer was sold in 1984, it sold for $2,495. That was a lot of money then. But if you had taken that same amount of money and invested it in Apple stock, it'd be worth about $1 million right now. A little more, actually. The benefits of hindsight. Right? Right? But what you really need is someone who has the foresight to be able to look forward and say, oh, there, there. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. And that's what's happening in this parable. That's who Jesus is. He's the one who can keep us from looking back and saying, oh man, if only. He is the one who is so worth waiting for if we follow his wisdom. Now, keep in mind as we look at this parable that this is about investments that just weren't obvious at first. The treasure in the field was hidden, right? The merchant who purchases the pearl has an eye for them. Even the one who's selling it to him doesn't know for sure how much it's worth, but he knows it's worth more than everything he has. In both cases, there are decisions to be made. And the question is it worth it? Is it worth it? Should I do this? On the one side, I have all of this. On the other, and each one must decide for themselves quietly and really, honestly, dear one, as you and I live out our lives following Jesus day by day, this is what we encounter. One theologian put it this way, we must still ask ourselves whether or not many things in our life, there are not many things in our life that are more cherished and more important to us than Jesus Christ. And whether these more important things may not one day become the price for which we sell our Christian faith, a passion, a particular style of living, an infidelity, a business manipulation, or whatever form the masks of the wicked one may take. And do not doubt that. This past week, I was going over the prayer wall in the entry area, and I found a request from a little over a year ago. It was one that I had prayed over several times at the time and in the months following because I was dealing with the consequences of the situation as a pastor. But seeing it there, it hit me with new force. The person who wrote it was in a dark place and they were asking for prayer from their church family. And they identified that they were going through an attack from the evil one. And in the end, wrong choices were made. And pain and heartache and confusion resulted. But the attack was so subtly carried out at the time that the person found themselves willingly going along. Because it was in the area of something they wanted. You never see the sadness at first. But oh, isn't that what happens? Isn't that the end result of sin? Haven't we seen it again and again and again? So there are investments that you and I make. And the question is, what will we put ourselves into? Sometimes we look at these verses only from the parable, these verses from the parable only from the angle of what the man is giving up. Both of them go out and sell everything, and we tend to look at that and say, could I do that? Right? Right. That's what we do. Is that what it's going to take? We misread the parable a little bit that way, because that's really not the point of it. Look closer. Jesus' emphasis is not on what we are giving up, but what we're getting when we come to him. What we're giving up is part of it, make no mistake, but look more closely, and he's focusing on why it's worth it. Oh, there's treasure there, worth far more than anything he has. Do you see it that way? There's a future with him worth far more than anything we could compromise it with, than anything we could ever achieve on our own. That's the beauty of it, of knowing God, of knowing him. The emphasis of this parable is positive. In his joy went. So let's go back to where we started. How blessed are you? Can you say this morning, yeah, I'm blessed because Jesus is mine and I am his and he loves me in spite of myself and he's given me hope and I will choose him because nothing satisfies my soul like he can. I'm blessed because no matter what this world tells me I need, I know I've been there before. And I know the world's promises, and I know his. And he is faithful. Can you say, I'm blessed because I know the quietness of my soul, in my soul, of being loved. Of being loved so deeply and so dearly that it's more. I've been loved, but this love. Oh, there's nothing like it. Nothing satisfies my soul like he can. Go back to those words again. In his joy. In his joy. Years ago, when I was an undergrad in California, I attended a Bible study in a couple's home, and one of the leaders of our group, Sharon Battle, said something that was so countercultural to college, I never forgot it. I mean, it just struck me. She said, I don't need to get drunk. I don't need to get high. I've got something better. I've got Jesus. Do you know it? Is that your joy? If it isn't, what do you need to do to get back there? You know, right? It'll take time. But time with him, nothing else in his word. Quieting yourself before him. Time here in worship. Time praising him. Are you able to say, this thing, whatever it is, it may be attractive to me, but I don't need it. I've got the better choice. And I will live for that. For him. You know, sometimes the choices we make, isn't it true? They're not overtly between good and evil, but between what is good and what is better. And a good way to measure if our focus is where it needs to be is if deep inside we have joy, peace that surpasses understanding, that quiet strength that comes to you that says, no matter what you're going through, I've got you, and I will get you through. Are our hearts thankful for him? Increasingly being filled with him. Because if our minds and our lives are stuck in a pattern of complaining and grumbling and fault-finding, we've taken our eyes off of him somewhere. And we need to recalibrate and recalculate what matters most. Again, remember, the real emphasis on this parable is what we receive. And because this is a parable from Jesus, it's also a promise from him. That's part of the beauty of it. The one who speaks in his joy. Remember what's said about Jesus? That he, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. The kingdom of God, life with him, that's the treasure, that's our pearl. And it's something that costs us, but it's something that's worth it. Peter put it this way: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That was Peter. John put it this way: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Are you there? Are you there? Because if you're not there, take this verse and pray it until you are. Turn it into a plea. Lord, help me. Help me to see it. You've lavished love on me. I'm your child. Help me to live there, to know that that's what you call me. Yes. See what great love. Do you see it? Lord, help me to see it. Scripture says elsewhere, Paul writes elsewhere, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, your eyes may be open. John put it this way: since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In his joy. That's our birthright. And nothing, nothing the world offers can come close. Mark Twain once commented, "It is wonderful to behold the calm confidence of a Christian with four aces." Now, knowing Mark Twain, there was some irony there. But think about this. The picture on the front of the bulletin is actually a masterpiece. It's from Rembrandt. And it's about this parable. Look at the face of the man who had found the treasure in the field. What do you see? He's watchful, right? Because his heart is set on it because of the worth of what he's found. That's his joy. That's his devotion. Jesus said, where your treasure is, That's where your heart will be. Just how blessed are you? May we pray. Lord, you are the treasure. Being with you, being in the life you give, help us to know you. Right now, each of us has business to do with God. Would you tell him yes? Yes. I want to treasure you most of all. Please know I don't say this as a preacher who thinks he's arrived. I haven't. But oh, his Spirit calls us here. Into the beauty of who he is. Into the wonder of a God whose goodness will never come to the end of discerning. Lord, help us to believe that, to feel it in our own skin. If you've been far away, now's a good time to tell him, I want you to be my joy. And where I don't, and where I'm struggling, Lord, you know, help me with that. Help me with that. His word says he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He is so good. Would you tell him you love him? Would you tell him you need him? If there's something that you need to confess, just tell him that. But know that as you come to him, he doesn't stand there with arms that are crossed. He stands there with arms that are open. Welcome into his joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.